Glad to have you here this morning. Some of you are new to us. It's John Mulligan, not Johnny Cash, reincarnated. Look at the hair. It once was black like his, but it is not any longer. Open up your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. It's a story I heard many years ago. It's about a man who was leading an auction, and he had this violin. It was battered, scratched, warped. It had certainly seen better days. And the auctioneer saw it, made jokes about it, how useless it probably was, but he was instructed to offer it. At auction, he started the bidding at $1. He was closing it at $3 and saying, once, twice, and all of a sudden, an elderly man rose from his seat, started heading up to the platform where the auctioneer was. He took the violin, and he began to play. And he played beautiful music. He was passionate, an artist, a skilled musician. And he played, and he played, and then he put it back down on the stand and took his seat. And the auctioneer took that violin, and with tears rolling down his cheeks, what bid should I take for this violin? And they went on for a number of minutes, and it finally sold at $3,100. And as people cheered and they clapped, there were some who said, what happened? Why did it become so valuable all of a sudden? And the auctioneer said, because of the master's touch. This morning, we look at a text, and we're going to meet some battered, scratched up, warped men, whom many would say, and maybe one day in their own heart and mind said, how useless I am. But then someone picked them up. Someone touched them, and it was the Master, the Heavenly Father. And he put his spirit in them and touched them and gave them a new heart, made them new creations, gave them gifts from heaven, and said, now, what is your worth? You are a treasure to me, priceless. And he released them into the world, into the heart and mind and scope of the Apostle Paul. And we learn this morning, these behind the scenes, never famous, never known, except by God and those who labored with them, some faithful, diligent, forgiven servants of God, who without them and their friendship to Paul, Paul would say, I never could have accomplished what God wanted to accomplish in my life without them accomplishing what God wanted them to accomplish in their life. We're reminded from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. There in that glorious chapter, we're told why we need a Savior, who that Savior is, and how we are saved by grace through faith. And it is not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one could boast. And then the God would say, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should do. And God did this ahead of time, waiting for that moment, that time that he knew he would call us. We would hear the call, know his voice personally, respond to him. And now, with the power of his spirit, the giftedness of his spirit, a new heart and a bent towards him, not from him, we might make an impact in the world in which we are now and recognize we're sojourners. We're passing through. It is not our home. We have a home from God in the heavens, made by God, the door opened through the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And so this morning, as we look at this text, as we come to the last couple of weeks in our study of the book of Colossians, Paul wants to acknowledge some personally. And you will find yourself, because as I looked and poured through this scripture and labored and prayed, I said, oh Lord, we have some of these Tychicuses, and that's not a disease, but that's a name. We have Aristarchuses, we have Onesimuses, we have Marks, we have these men and women in our church who labor, who may never be famous, but because they do what they do, people hear the gospel. Are pointed to Jesus, and they become new creations in Christ. So church family, brothers and sisters, be encouraged this morning. And I share with you as we venture into this text, some of us might say, oh, what I would give to have friends like this. And I would say that too, but oh, may we say more earnestly, oh, God, would you help me to be a friend like this. Let's take a look at the text this morning. Colossians 4, 7 through 11, as Paul closes out. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. And they have been a comfort to me. So a few things, and you want to fill this in your outline. And it's in the back of your program this morning. And as some of you are closing down your season of growth groups, you can use that as you gather and interact with the scripture. So we see here, God uses certain people to make an impact in a dark world and in challenging times. And there are attributes, there are characteristics that he builds into them that are common in Paul's day and are common in our day if we were to make a difference in the world that we live in and in other people's lives. We'll see, number one, they're followers of Christ. Notice what he says about Tychicus. Calls him his brother, who is dearly loved. He only became his brother because Tychicus had met Jesus, and he met Jesus through the ministry, the preaching and teaching ministry of Paul. We see that in the book of Acts. Tychicus is named 5 times. And in nearly every instance, he is with Paul when Paul is up against it. He's being falsely accused. He's being arrested. He's being beaten to a pulp. He's on a ship to Rome. And there he is, encouraging, supporting him, walking with him. And he calls him a beloved brother. The word beloved, we see it in the scripture. Many times it speaks of God's attitude towards you and me. He said, you are the objects of my affection. Intentional, initiating objects of my affection. And Paul says, Tychicus, and he wasn't embarrassed to say it, is beloved by me, my brother. You know, in some parts of our country, you'll walk into a church and they'll say, hey, brother, hey, sister, and they'll give you a hug. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's a little weird, you know, but I get it. It comes out of the scripture. Here, hey, how you doing, John? How you doing, bro? You know, but they get brother and sister out of the scripture that says, you know, you now have spiritual brothers and sisters with God being your father. And you're brought together. You know, you guys are back. You're feeling comfortable there, Courtney, in Houston and all that brother-sister stuff. I first met her. She called me brother like 400 times in one simple conversation. I'm like, what? So now she's back with her people and it's comfortable. We miss you both desperately. Tychicus, beloved brother. Not until we are children of God. Every one of us in this room, do you know you're a creation of God? He was there in that secret place when you were wrought, when you were made. There's no mistakes. You're a creation of God. It's part of giving you life. And then he says, now I want for you to experience spiritual life. Relationship with me. Not only to become my creation, but to be my child. And that happens when there is a yieldedness, a surrender, a belief by faith alone in what Jesus did on that cross. Because each one of us, a creation of God, says, how can I commune, talk, listen, be heard, gain insight from a holy and perfect God? I can't, and you would be right. And there are no works. There is no other who can intercede and make that happen for us except Jesus and what he did on the cross. He says, I open the door. I bang it wide open. You have full access to the Father now because of your unholiness, because of your sin. There was, God declared a payment, a sacrifice, and nothing and no sacrifice, no matter how religious you might be. And how faithful those who might be, who will lead a religion. No one can bring that sacrifice to actually pay for the forgiveness of sin, to pay the debt. So God came himself, and that's why Jesus came. So the first attribute to make an impact, to be a follower. Are you a follower of Jesus this morning? Do you know that? Because his spirit confirms in your spirit that you are a child of God, and you know it. And it's not because you're perfect. It's not because you continue to walk as a wonderful disciple. It's because he declared it. He put his seal of ownership in you by the Holy Spirit. That's how you know it. And that kindness and that love draws you back to him. If you have been distracted, if you have quenched him, You're reminded and say, oh, silly me, sinful me. That is no longer my nature. That is no longer how I want to live any day. I want to live filled by your spirit. I want to live free from the guilt and the condemnation because you came to take the guilt and condemnation. You have come to set me free. A follower of Christ does that. Secondly, we notice here about Tychicus, he's dependable. And he was dependable in the tough and inconvenient times. He was a faithful minister. His giftedness was serving. It was helping others. Staying behind the scenes, doing whatever was needed. And most important, he did it faithfully. That's what that word means. He was a faithful minister. He never came to the time where he said, that cost too much. Lord, I am not going to sacrifice and yield. It's costing too much. He was dependable. Oh my goodness, did Paul need dependable men and women? And he found one in Tychicus. It was running through his veins, that faithfulness, that dependability. You and your students, as you look at your teachers and you're thankful for those who are faithful and dependable in teaching you. You're thankful when you have some fellow peers, students who are faithful and dependent to do their homework, to do their study. You encourage and inspire one another. We need that in the workplace. And when you have that, what a great place, a great season to be in your job. In the local church, in this church, dependability and faithfulness Tychicus was one of them. And that was his gift. The word minister in its Greek form is diakonos. It's where we get the word deacon, which literally means servant. And that was Tychicus. And he did it well. Paul was able to exercise his gifts of apostleship, preaching and teaching, because he had not only one Tychicus, but many who did their ministry. And how content was Tychicus? I don't need to be known as a leader, as a teacher, as a preacher, a writer. Let it be known that I am a servant. You know, that title was shared by someone else who walked before Tychicus and called him Jesus himself. I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life. What a title, servant. Amen. The third attribute we see that he ascribes to Tychicus is fellow servant in the Lord. It's speaking about an understanding that he saw that Tychicus was as deeply devoted to Jesus as Paul was. Paul was saying, Tychicus and I, we're equal. Our gifts are different. Our experiences are different. Maybe our training and education is different. But we're equal. And he writes to the church and he says, he uses that word, a fellow servant. Meaning, you know, you guys know in Colossae, Paul is saying, I love Jesus. You need to know Tychicus loves Jesus as much as I do. Equal devotion to Jesus. And sometimes we just look at somebody's, you know, place of service, or if they're out front, oh, they really love Jesus. They are really on fire. Oh, and you know what God says? There are many Tychicuses. I can't say that like so many times. Tychicuses. Whose devotion and love for Jesus is just as hot. Hallelujah. We need to get that. We need to understand that. We need to applaud that and honor that. And at times, their passion, love, and devotion to Jesus can even be hotter than the ones who may be seen and have the greater fame. So he was a follower of Christ. He was dependable and faithful. And he was a fellow servant. And then we see they were encouraging and trustworthy communicators. Notice verse 8 and 9. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother. He used the same terms. He was faithful. He was a beloved brother. Who is one of you? Onesimus was from the city of Colossae. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. So Paul had a dual purpose in sending these men to Colossae. It wasn't just to deliver the letter to Colossae. They also delivered a letter to Ephesus. They also delivered a letter to Philemon. And who did he give that charge to? He gave it to a faithful, dependable servant. He wasn't looking, hey, Peter, where are you? James and John, where are you? I've got something really special to do. They could have done it. But it was the dependable, faithful, behind-the-scenes servant that he knew he could give that weighty responsibility and depend on him to carry it through, to bring what would be biblical scripture that you and I are reading today, breathed out by the mouth of God, so that you and I might know him, how to worship him, how to walk amongst one another. He gave to these guys. But also, he knew the church would need encouragement. Why? Because where was Paul? He was in a Roman prison. And unfortunately, When bad news happens, when things happen, there's a lot of times the facts get skewed. It's a lot of times that they're downplayed or they're exaggerated or they're even twisted. And there were some in the churches who had it out for Paul. And they used these examples, and Paul writes about it. Starts in Philippians and in the other pastoral epistles, Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, in Corinthians. He writes about those who would have it out for him and for others. And he knew the church would be discouraged, concerned. And so he says, I'm going to send some trustworthy servants to face-to-face share with them what he says it twice. Here's what's going on. Here's the factual report so that you can know, and as a result of knowing, be encouraged. Was it, hey, everything is great. The pillows here are so soft. The meals in the Roman prisons are exquisite. No. It's like, yeah, it's tough. It's unlivable. But by the grace of God, I'm doing fine. And I'm here not because I've committed a crime, except that I won't renounce Jesus. Except that I say there is one true God. And there's one way to him. And the way and the truth and the life is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. And so he sent Tychicus. And he sent Onesimus. And that word encourage is the very word parakletos that we see in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus was teaching about the Holy Spirit who would come alongside to encourage, build into, bring confidence, comfort. And here, God is saying, and these men will be able to do that for you as they come alongside and spend some time with you. And then, should we even get started with Onesimus? Do you know his story and his journey? He was from the city of Colossae, and he ran. He was a slave, a servant of Philemon. And he took off, and he filled his sack with some things that were in Philemon's house. He stole from him. He defrauded him, and he took off. And as he ran and ran and ran, he met Jesus through the teaching and preaching ministry of the Apostle Paul, most likely in Ephesus. And then Paul befriended him, understood his life, knew what he had come from, knew his past, and he watched him grow. And he watched the sincerity of his faithfulness, and he became a maturing disciple of Jesus. And here, he's sending him back to the city where, guess what? The law waits. Philemon waits. Severe consequence waits. But he's saying, I'm sending him back. And I'm telling you, he's a changed man. He's a faithful man. He is a beloved brother. You know, when you and I blow it, when there's a strifeful relationship, it's very hard for us to advocate for ourselves. I'm sincerely sorry. I'm changed. It's you know, can we fix it and move on? Oh, but to have an advocate, one who observes, one who sees, one who is respected and steps up and says, oh yeah, truly repentance has come. Truly this person has changed. I speak on that behalf. And that's what Paul was doing for Onesimus, a runaway slave. And you know what? Read Philemon later. He even says in Philemon, I know he wronged you, but any cash he took, anything else that you think he owes you, put it on my tab. I'll take care of it. I believe that much in him. And these were the two that Paul sent to the church at Colossae, that they might be encouraged, that they might have the facts of what is going on in Paul's life and in the work of the ministry in Rome and in elsewhere. Let's take a look at another attribute. Notice he says to the church of Colossae, he instructs them to be gracious welcomers of the repentant and the restored. Welcomers is not a word. I put it in, I put apostrophe, it keeps up coming red. You know that red line you get underneath? And I say, I don't care, I always make up words, I'm using it. But I want to tell you, that's my word, it's not the English teacher's words who are here going, oh, no, no, John, you never do that. I did it. But I'm telling you, I did it. Because he says, welcome them. Well, welcome who? Talks about Aristarchus first. My fellow prisoner greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. Well, Aristarchus, we meet him in the book of Acts. He was with Paul through thick and thin. And he literally stayed with him in his prison times. Was he in a cell or was he on a cot outside the cell? We're not really clear. What we're really clear of, he was a prisoner. He lived the life. He forsook his freedoms. He forsook who knows what kind of comforts to say, because he had an empathetic, compassionate heart so much so, he says, I'm going to go through this with Paul. And Paul called him a fellow prisoner. And then he speaks of Mark. John Mark, whom we have met in the book of Acts. He went along on Paul's first missionary journey with his uncle Barnabas. Barnabas meaning son of encouragement. Paul has always had encouragers. He never would have been able to get through well without encouragers in his life. And then during that first missionary journey, as the going got tough, Mark, the young man deserted them. He went back. And on the second missionary journey, when Barnabas said to Paul, hey, let's take John Mark again, Paul says, having nothing of it. Not doing it. But here we are, right here in Colossians, many years and many miles have passed, and Paul is saying to the church, and John Mark, or Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, if he comes to you, welcome him. Isn't that incredible? Reconciliation, restoration amongst brothers who had parted ways. God can do that. God does that. That's the grace of the gospel. And we see that occurring. Do you know at the very end of Timothy's life, as he's writing 2 Timothy, as he writes to Timothy, he asks for two things. Oh, send me the scriptures. Bring the parchments when you come to visit, and bring Mark, for he is a helpful servant of mine. Hallelujah. Thank God for second, third, fourth chances when we fail. When we blow it as God's children. You know, God so restored Mark that he gave him the privilege to being one of the gospel writers. Matthew, Mark, it's this guy. God worked in and through him, and scholars would think and would say that the advocate who most likely brokered that was the Apostle Peter. As you read Mark's gospel, you see the imprint of the Apostle Peter all over it. So he had understood, he had seen, he was well aware. And as he stepped in to advocate, a restoration took place. And then finally, notice the last attribute of those who had come alongside, whom God used to impact the world. Literally, you and I today, they were comforters. Comforters in the challenging times, despite their own personal peril. Look with me. In Jesus, who is called Justice, well, Jesus, it's the Greek form of Joshua, which means Savior. It's a tough name to live up to in this day, in Paul's day. And Jesus is saying, hey, guys, help me out. Give me a new name. What do you see in me? I don't want to be known as Jesus. And they gave him the name Justice, a Latin name, which means righteous. It's a good attribute. And so Jesus called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. And they have been a comfort to me. Word comfort is the only time this particular word in the Greek is used in the New Testament. And it comes from the medical world, the medicinal world. It speaks of an ointment. It speaks of a medicine, a pain reliever. You know, some of our friends can be a pain in the neck. And other friends are pain relievers. Bounces out a little bit, right? And he says, these were comforters. There were times where these guys knew how to come alongside Paul. You want to head to Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, Paul, to have a coffee? Oh, no, wait a minute, you're in bars. A cup of soup? Maybe not. But maybe they prayed with him in his presence. Maybe there was a pat on the back. Maybe there was simply a reminder of God's faithful promises as they talked scripture together. But they were medicine. They were ointments. They were the back rubbers, the feet masseurs. Whatever comfort was needed, there were them. There were these guys who were available and ready to be comforters to the Apostle Paul. And it's like there's a sense, I believe he's saying, without these different men and their different gifts being exercised in the fullness of God's power working in through them, it's almost like, I don't think I'd make it. Don't think I'd be able to do what God's called me to do, though he's powerful. Because when you and I examine the scripture, and we know the famous guys, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Isaiah, Elijah, all of them, Peter, and now Paul. You examine their lives. They all had faithful brothers, fellow servants, encouragers, comforters alongside every one of them. God made us to relate, to let people in, allow them to be involved in your lives, and sometimes that means to get transparent because you may be walking in a dark place and in a dungeon, and unless you're honest with somebody and allow them to use their gifts to help you, you'll stay stuck. And guys, you know I'm talking more to you than to the ladies. You get some ladies in a room and it's, oh, here's my heart and here's what's going on in my life. I don't mean to say that in a demeaning way. God made ladies to open their hearts and to share and to be transparent and to share the burden. That's awesome. Guys, we're like, oh yeah, how about this weather? Nice. How about them Yankees? How about them Sox? Oh, they're not in first place. The Yankees are, in case you hadn't heard. So we just talk surface stuff, many of us. And we go on, and our friends or our children or our spouse may say, how'd it go meeting with Billy Bob? Good, man, we really connected. Paul, he connected. Because it was fierce out there. It was hard out there. The sea billows rolled out there. They were all susceptible to all kinds of temptation and struggle, discouragement. And they needed to be honest and transparent with each other, to sharpen each other, to help each other, to take the risk of investing in and allowing someone to invest in you at times with grace and truth. And not just the grace, not just the sugar. We all need to be told what we don't see, because all of us don't see some things. do you have? Men, a faithful man, it's good if you would say, well, I have a wife and she is my best friend. That's good. But it's different. And you need a man or men in your life because we see and we perceive and we go through things that our precious wives cannot grasp or understand. Just like we can't grasp and understand some of the things that they go through. Because God created them different on purpose, and he created you different on purpose, and a man gets it and understands it. But we need to be real and vulnerable and seek the help with others. And as we close out, ladies, yes, he mentions men because he was a man. There's many other places in the scripture and all the epistles. The book of Romans, how many women does he mention who were incredible servants, faithful friends, supporters of him? But in this particular letter to this particular city, he names these guys. Ladies, the same attributes and characteristics are for you as well with those whom you walk with. So let us pray. And as I opened up and I said, oh, that we would all say, oh, I'd love a BF like this. Oh, that we would be a BF like this. It means best friend. I'm not cursing in lingo. We have a Savior who no longer calls us. He wrote this to the apostles on the night he was betrayed. I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. I've laid it out. I've told you who I am, what I came to do. I've told you all the secret things that you could grasp about God the Father. Go now and love one another in the way that I have loved you. These guys, Tychicus, Aristarchus, Onesimus, Mark, and we're going to see in 2 weeks some other guys got it. And there was one who didn't. Paul had them. Oh, let's pray that we would not only would have them, but we would be those men and those women. Father, I thank you that your word's alive. It is transferable as truth to us today. Because we are still your children and we still battle and we still struggle. And Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this body, for this church family, the men and the women, the young men and women who display many of these attributes and characteristics. And why is that? Because you touch them. You put your spirit in them and you've gifted them and they've honed it and they are faithful. Thank you. Oh, Lord, we always need an adjustment. You are our creator. We go to your word, and you give us these adjustments. Thank you today for your word doing that. And so, Lord, as we meditate, as we ponder, as we think through your living word, that we would call out to you for help to be the men and women, boys and girls, whom can impact and make a difference in this world. For the gospel, for Christ's sake, and eternal life, heaven's glory. In your name we pray.